This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRussia. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRussia Eats.
Oh, you are going to love episode 7, season 2 of DeRussia Eats. From high school speech champions to nationally known celebrity chefs. It's Jason DeRussia. So glad to have you spending some time with me and with part of the lively and vibrant and exciting Minnesota food community. And Kim, Justin Sutherland, both high school speech competitors, both went to Apple Valley High School in the Minnesota suburbs. That foundation of storytelling has served both well as they've become celebrity chefs, telling their stories through food and telling other people's stories as well through television. And Kim, featured on Netflix's Chef Table, their pizza edition. She is known for pizza, but she is so much more than that. She's opened her first restaurant focusing on Korean-American cuisine, her most personal restaurant called Kim's. Justin Sutherland is the host of Taste the Culture. He's just won a Daytime Emmy Award for hosting Food TV. A national Emmy, Justin won. He's been featured on Fast Foodies. He is a chef in the Twin Cities, a restaurant owner, and he is growing his empire as well. Two great people, great celebrity chefs in this episode of DeRussia Eats. In a time where many people are wondering what the future of Uptown Minneapolis is, one of our most prominent chefs is going all in, not only launching a new version of her restaurant right in the middle of Uptown, but perhaps her most personal restaurant so far. Ann Kim is the chef and owner of Pizzeria Lola, Hello Pizza, Young Joni, and now Kim's in Minneapolis. And Ann is with us here in studio. It's so good to have you here, Ann.
I'm so happy to be here, Jason.
You opened Suki and Mimi in Uptown in
February 2020, whenever the pandemic was happening, just
right
when things could
perfect
open
timing
up
to open.
Oh,
a new restaurant.
Oh, it was brilliant.
But Suki and Mimi was awesome.
Thank you.
And yet you decided I need to do something different.
Yes, I loved Suki and Mimi and all the energy and time that we put into that restaurant. Unfortunately, sometimes timing is everything. And having opened during the pandemic, we just didn't get a fair start. And everybody knows during that time, there were restrictions. People were scared to dine out. We had to change the concept and the formatting. And I think people were a little confused about what the original intention was of the restaurant. It was supposed to be loud and boisterous and packed, and those are all the things that you didn't want during that time.
Right.
And so rather than try and reshape or reinvent that restaurant, I decided to do something completely different, reset, do something bold, and create a completely different restaurant, which is Kim's.
Kim's is Korean-American food.
Yes.
And you are Korean-American.
Korean-American, yes.
Yes. South Korean immigrant, mm-hmm, but you grew up in Apple Valley.
Grew up in Apple Valley, Minnesota, went to school K through 12, went to New York, went to college and lived there for, you know, about 7 years and came back.
You're a speech nerd and then an actor. And
I was a total speech and debate nerd. And that's, I think,
I say that with love.
Yes, because I know you were
space
too.
I was, and I coached a team.
Yes,
so yes.
Yes.
But then you came back and opened.
Yes, I came back and did a variety of things, one of which was I acted professionally for 8 years, and then I left that industry pretty much cold and decided with my husband that we'd open up our first restaurant in 2010, which was Pizzeria Lola, and haven't looked back ever since.
You won the James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest, first woman, first person of color from Minnesota to win that. And people, as you rose to more national notoriety, you know, you're on Netflix's Chef's Table. Mm-hmm. People asked you, Aunt, when are you going to open your restaurant?
Yeah.
When are you going to cook really Korean and Kim food?
Yeah, you know, I never really took that very seriously in the past. I just thought, well, you know, I do have Korean influences in my restaurant, but it was Korean barbecue on a pizza or kimchi on a pizza, and never really pushed the edge and really opened a restaurant that was significantly Korean American. But I think partly by necessity, because I felt like I did need to make a pretty bold change in order to reset and get people excited about Uptown and dining out again, I decided this was the time to step into my power. And I really felt like maybe it was turning 50. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really decided that I really didn't give a damn about, you know, being afraid of things or doing things that I felt like might fail, because there's no better time than the present. And I felt like, you know what, this is something that I feel like I was meant to do, but was too scared to do it, or made up excuses like, oh, Minnesotans aren't ready for a Korean restaurant. But I said, you know what, screw that. I'm going to do it. And it's been, the response has been incredible, and I'm just so grateful for it.
And Kim is here. Kim's in Uptown, just opened
Tuesday. Yes.
I was there on Wednesday?
I thought you were there on Tuesday. I don't know. The days are all blurred for me. I don't know what's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I think people are really going to enjoy it. Do you agree with me when I say, like, this is your most personal? I mean, this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely my most personal restaurant to date. And I'm having fun for the, you know, it's been a long time since the pandemic, like having fun running a restaurant.
Well, you've talked about some of this. All of us struggle kind of working through it in different ways.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. The work is hard. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But there's a difference when you feel like you have a sense of purpose and you're enjoying it. And I'm having the time of my life.
No reservation.
Correct.
So I love this because it's sort of a throwback to how we used to open restaurants. Mm-hmm. I actually had to explain to people on Twitter that this is how we used to open restaurants.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
But why no reservations? What are you going for here?
Yeah, you know, for me, Kim's is supposed to be a neighborhood, casual, come as you are, come. You don't need to plan months or weeks in advance. We're not fancy. We make great food with intention, but I want people to think of Kim's as an everyday restaurant where they can stroll in for a beer and a bite to eat, or they can celebrate a birthday or anniversary, but it's something that they can come to once a week and not once a year. And I think not having reservations sort of invites that already.
Just make the decision.
Just come on in, and there's always going to be a seat for you. You know, Friday or Saturday, maybe around 6:30, you might have to wait, but we have a speakeasy downstairs. You can grab a cocktail. And, you know, it just makes sense for us as restaurateurs, too.
Have you had more? I've heard many restaurateurs complaining about more no-shows and more cancellations.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to say I do appreciate our guests, you know, being so incredible and you know, being so respectful for what we do. But sometimes you do get guests that just don't call ahead. And when you are a popular restaurant, people just assume you're always busy and they can't get a seat. But if like 15, 20 people don't show up, that's lost revenue and people that could have filled those seats. So it's hard. So all I ask
is, I struggle with that. Like, I definitely have been trained over the last 2 years to feel like, well, my first thing is to check if there are reservations open.
Well, yes, totally.
We've all been trained that way.
Yes, yes.
So that's sort of the risk you're taking. Like, can we untrain this a little bit?
I hope so. And, you know, also, like, fly by the seat of your pants, you know? You know, take a little risk. And for me, it's like, I do believe that people can get used to a little bit of a wait. I think we're a society that feels like you have to have everything on demand when you want it, when you need it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this puts a little bit of like fun and spontaneity into your life.
I get it. If you have like a 6-year-old or something, like, that's fine. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people get a babysitter, you have a night out. But part of what I think is important, if we are going to be a real big city, which we seem to think we want to be.
Yes.
Like, you have to go out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big, like, blame the diner. Like, if a restaurant closes, I'm not like, well, you should have supported that restaurant.
No.
I don't believe that. Like, businesses should make us want to go there.
Yeah.
And you do have to go out sometimes during the week.
Yeah.
You can't only go out on Thursday, Friday,
well,
Saturday.
Well, I actually prefer to dine out during the week only because it's less busy. It's not crowded.
Yes.
And we've had lots of families actually come in. Actually, we had a couple come in and they said this was supposed to be a date night, but our babysitter canceled. So we brought the kids and we had no reservations and they were happy as punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took our kids everywhere. It's okay. Like, take your kids out together.
Yes, we're very kid-friendly. We've got, you know, great options for everybody. And that's what we want to encourage, that this is it's a welcoming restaurant, whether you're on a date night or celebrating. And soon we're going to open up some limited reservations for parties 7 or larger.
For the big
ones. If you are planning a special event or a birthday, that we'll be able to accommodate. Yes.
And Kim is the newest chef owner or the newest restaurant in her roster. It's called Kim's in Uptown. And I wanted to ask you about Uptown because Uptown has a perception problem, but there's also a reality problem, as you know, doing business over there. Driving down Hennepin and Lake, you see all these empty storefronts.
Yeah.
And you're next to like a cute wine bar. Your corner has stuff. But Uptown is not what it was.
Yeah, it's struggling. And Uptown's always sort of had ups and downs and they've reinvented themselves, you know, throughout every decade. And right now, I do feel like it's slightly depressed. But for me, I try to focus on things that I can control. And I can't control what's going on around me, but I can control my actions. And rather than curl up in, you know, a fetal form and feel sorry for myself, I just decided I'm going to do something. I believe in Uptown, and this is a time to reset. It's transformation. It has been a part of my journey always and the key to my success. And I believe that if we're successful, other like-minded businesses and restaurateurs will also come. So this is an invitation to all my friends and colleagues and people out there, both locally and nationally, that Uptown is a great place to be. So come join me.
And Kim, the restaurant, I think people are going to love it. It's casual, but precise in the cooking and the talent, and it's delicious.
Oh, thank you so much.
Number one thing people should order when they go?
Oh, man, I hesitate to say it because the kitchen gets... there's lots of things. Right now, our number one seller is the stone bowl bibimbap, but there's so many great things. And one that's really special to me is the pindatok, which is a mung bean kimchi pancake, which is my mother's recipe. And she's North Korean, and it's a traditional Korean recipe from the Pyeongchang region. So I love that dish.
Very good. And thank you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
He is one of the biggest names in the food scene in the Twin Cities and one of our biggest emissaries all around the country, Justin Sutherland. Is with us here in studio. Justin, it's so good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Good to see you, buddy.
You are, you appear to be tireless. You're always on the go. You're traveling. You're telling the story of Minnesota that people should know what we're doing here. Do you ever feel like, man, I just, like, could I just be home for like a solid month?
Yeah, I started to feel that, and with all of the travel and everything, what I've learned and, you know, told my agent and whoever books stuff for me, I prefer to do it in blocks. Like, I just came off about 6 weeks on the road, and I'll be home till about February. It was the going for 3 days, home for 2 days, gone, the back and forth.
That's hard.
You never unpack, you never settle in, you never catch up on life at home, so I do it in big blocks, and then I breathe.
You are running multiple restaurants here in the Twin Cities, and actually one of the concepts that has grown, I feel like, has grown a little under the radar, and that's your Northern Soul concept. Tell everybody what that is.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of a celebration of the food that I love. You know, Southern food with kind of the Northern spin I put on it, a little bit of barbecue. But with this iteration, we're able to do more focused iterations of it. We have Northern Soul Fried Chicken at the airport, Northern Soul Smokehouse up north at Grandview Lodge, which is strictly barbecue, Northern Soul Southern Kitchen over in Uptown. So, yeah.
In Daisy's and that concept there.
Yep, in the Daisy's concept.
How are you feeling about Uptown? We had Ann Kim in here yesterday talking about Kim's, her new restaurant over there.
Yep.
It feels like there might, I mean, you know, it's going to be a road. It's going to be a road.
It's
there.
A road. Still.
There's so much empty. It's still a road.
It's still definitely a road. I mean, you know, we all have hopes and see some glimmers at the end. But, I mean, we all know everybody who's investing in that neighborhood knows we're still a couple years out from where, you know, we hope it'll be.
You're in St. Paul at Big E's.
Yep.
Tell us how that's been going. Big E's is an egg sandwich concept, which had to get over a little bit of, like, I don't know how I took all this shrapnel for you.
I appreciate it.
But when you launched that, a local newspaper reporter, without comment, just posted a picture of your menu board. And I still have people give me grief for saying that I thought a $15 egg sandwich was not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable.
It's absolutely not, especially when we're getting local organic eggs, when we have Rose Street Patisserie making the buns for us fresh. I mean, but that either way, I mean, anytime something happens, it's usually the people that are never going to go there that have something to stay, because it's going great. It's probably one of my favorite concepts here, and we're doing a national expansion with that.
You started that in Portland?
In Portland, only because our Minnesota location wasn't ready yet.
Wasn't ready to go. But gave you a good chance to road test. I actually think known chefs should take more chances outside of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because, well, let's be honest, like when Andrew Zimmern opened his Chinese restaurant here, like the knives were out for him. And if you go somewhere else, like I think sometimes people get a better reception. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think you're true for sure on that. And I mean, nobody in Portland complained about the prices.
I mean, there's something. Do you think? So, like, you're a fascinating character in our scene to me, because you're a homegrown talent. You grew up in
Apple Valley.
You, like Anne, were a speech kid,
big time.
You were like a
went to nationals. Yeah, went I won today. State. Went to nationals.
What was your event?
The first state I did multiple, but it was poetry that I went to nationals in.
So you grew up here. You built Handsome Hog was your first restaurant, but you worked in a lot of different restaurants.
Yep.
And then you hit a little bit of television fame. Which how life changing was that for you?
It was very life-changing, especially at a moment where that never crossed my mind. I did not think, you know, I was very focused on being a restaurant chef. I just opened Handsome Hog, and it didn't even cross my mind until Food Network called. And, you know, if they ask you to be on Iron Chef, you don't really say no. You know, didn't plan on winning, but ended up winning, and that kind of kickstarted the Top Chef. And then, you know, here we are.
TV food shows.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about... I mean, I love them, of course. I think most people who love food love them. I guess, how do you feel about it as far as, like, introducing people to what goes on in kitchen? Obviously, it's TV, so, like, it's entertainment to a certain degree.
It's entertainment. I think, you know, the food television world is changing or about to go through a change from what we like to see. I mean, you know, obviously Guy Fieri's has his, you know, his huge empire of Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives and Guy's Grocery Games, the travel shows that Andrew Zimmern, is very well known for. So I think we're trying to figure out where that leads
you
into.
You and
next.
Andrew talked a bit, right?
Yeah.
And you guys know each other well.
Yep.
Has it been helpful? I mean, for you as a young chef, like ending up with national television fame, to understand, like, what do I do with this? Because people think you're super rich because it's cable TV, everybody.
Know, right?
It's cable. But are you super rich from food TV?
Not at all. Those things pay just about zero bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising, right?
Yeah, people just assume that the second you step onto a TV that people are throwing money at you. But usually, in some of those things, you pay to be there.
But it opens up other doors.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I love it. It definitely opens up other doors.
Justin Sutherland is with us. Now you are a national Emmy Award nominee, and we'll find out at the daytime Emmys. But you were nominated as a host for Taste the Culture. Tell everybody about that show.
Yeah, that was the first show when a network came to me and said, what kind of food show do you want to make? You know, I love the travel log aspect of food TV, but I also realize there's a lot of untold stories, especially if, you know, from the BIPOC community, from the small mom and pop shops, from the women owned restaurants. So I really wanted to kind of take the spotlight off me, travel around and help tell some untold stories in the food space.
For you as a man of color, as a black man, is it? Do you feel an extra obligation or what is that pull to kind of tell those stories?
I don't know if it's so much of an obligation, but a desire. I don't think it ever reached the point where I felt obligated to, because it's something that I've always wanted to do. I mean, you know, we all live in this world. We know the stories that are amplified and the stories that aren't. So, you know, when given a platform, it's, you know, it's good to tell the stories you find to be important.
I mean, do you feel things have improved or changed when it comes to telling stories of black chefs or black-owned restaurants specifically?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely leaning.
It started at crap.
It started at nothing. So, I mean, from nothing to where we are now is definitely huge steps. And, you know, that came with the fight of a lot of those black chefs, you know, who took it upon themselves to tell their own stories. But I think, you know, the world is definitely more curious and waking up and realizing more of what's going on around them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you've also taken advantage of the fact that you had, you know, Handsome Hog had tremendous success and still is going strong, right?
Yeah. She's been on about 9 years on that, so, which is wild.
Isn't that crazy? How old were you when you started that?
I mean, was it 2016? So 31-ish? I don't even know. I'm bad at math.
Really young.
She's about 40, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she turned 39, so she's about 30.
When you reflect back, what would you tell your 30-year-old self?
You know, there's always more about the business end you could learn, learning your numbers more, learning more operational stuff, and also realizing that not all money is good money. you know, do a little more research where you're getting funding from, make sure you know, have control of the things you want to have control of, but I wouldn't change any of it.
Justin Sutherland is with us, a number of local restaurants that he owns and is the culinary director of. We are going to take a break. I want to talk about his foray into THC seltzers. So he's working on that. And also, I mean, you're involved in so many different things.
Yep.
It's fun, man.
Gotta
stay busy. I don't think that's your problem.
Something like that.
419, Drive Time with DeRussia. And DeRussia Eats brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy in St. Louis Park. Coming right back. DeRussia Eats at 424. Glad for the support of Liquor Boy and the Minnesota Pork Board. Our guest today is Justin Sutherland. Boy, could you imagine when you were growing up as a speech kid, right, doing poetry, spending your Saturdays at, like, you
talking
know.
Talking to walls?
Yes. I spent a lot of time in that world.
Yep.
I was that in high school and then coached my kids' team. And you think, like, look at you now. Did those lessons, kind of public speaking and competition, how have those sort of affected
all of it? I mean, I look back at so many times, especially, you know, with the public speaking and television and just being comfortable in that world. I credit so much of that to speech and debate.
Yeah.
And especially Apple Valley High School was such a
still dominant.
20, 30 years I've been dominant in that world. So I learned a lot there.
Well, you also learned about sacrifice, right?
Right.
Because to compete in speech or debate, you give up all day Saturday. I don't know if people understand. Like,
and your Friday night because you're up, you know, 6 a.m. You're practicing.
Got to get on a bus and off you go. You are involved in the food businesses, the restaurant businesses, the television. But you also just launched a seltzer.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Crooked Beverage.
THC.
THC seltzer, 3 and 5 milligrams. We've tried them all as they came to the market. And, I mean, definitely one of the most, best tasting on the market for sure. It's just been really fun to watch how that, world has gone. You know, it's very much the market for those, is very much the housewives that, never really dabbled, weren't, big THC users. So it's a good little segue into that. And especially people who aren't drinking that want to just loosen up a little bit at the bar. It's a great product. And
I tried the Blood Orange.
Yep.
But you have these flavors, is that sort of what you bring to the table, the culinary aspect? Or
no, honestly, my brother and his partners who started this company, they actually did the first run at Flavors and brought it to me before the flavors. And I was like, wow, these are actually delicious.
Right.
You don't even need me for the flavor tweaking.
Because the first round of some of the flavors that were out in the market were sort of either flavorless or just
foul. Too sugary or flat.
Too sugary.
Yeah. They did a really good job with these.
You're also involved in a clothing business.
Yeah. Hybrid Nation. We've been around for quite a while now.
You guys have been around for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, my brother started this right out of college at Carleton, and it's really blown up. I mean, it fully supports him and his family, and it's,
It's streetwear, kind of, which, the tagline, "In diversity we trust," is sort of what launched it, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. We call it, socially conscious streetwear. We do a lot of give backs, work a lot with, inner city youth, and just, that we're all kind of, we're all hybrids. We're all part of the same.
Yeah. So you look at, you look at Justin Sutherland, the 30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a period of exploration, of growth, of
for sure,
rising to fame. Of loss.
Yep.
You were in that boat accident where you could have lost everything.
Very close to it, yes.
So what is Justin Sutherland the 40s look like?
Yeah, I think, taking all of those lessons, experiences, reflecting, and I think really just, just being more intentional about everything, realizing, we've spent a lot of time saying yes now, realizing, how important sometimes saying no is. And focusing on, the people and things that have been here through the whole ride that are really important.
Biggest mistake you think of that you've made?
I don't know.
That you've learned from anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned from a lot. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of humbling moments. There's been loss. I don't know that any of them are mistakes because all of them were big learning opportunities, especially in business. I mean, far from everything I've done has been successful, but I mean, it's really just being able to learn from those, get back up and, know where you want to be and keep doing it.
Justin Sutherland, our guest, Northern Soul. I love how you took sort of the risk putting that up at Grandview Lodge.
Yeah.
Just makes sense.
It's going great up there. We're very excited for next year, having a full season of it.
Your book is called Northern Soul.
Yep.
A lot of times people looking for a Christmas gift of a local cookbook, but it's more than recipes.
It's more than recipes. There's a lot of good story in there. I mean, we all know and love J.D. Fratsky, one of my good friends. He helped write the book with me. But it's also just such a approachable book. I mean, anybody can pick it up, make anything off any page by going to their local grocery store.
We always ask people on DeRussia Eats to give 3 restaurant recommendations of places they don't own. So,
yeah.
Lay it on.
I travel so much. I've not been to half of the new places. And when I am here, I'd like to just go to the Old Faithfuls.
Oh, I like that.
My favorite burger right now is at Burger Dive in St. Paul. I think they make an amazing burger. I love going to Lotus for their pho.
Who works at Lotus? My 16-year-old works at the Lotus in Maple Grove, which is very funny.
I love Lotus. I will say a new restaurant. David Fima's Maison Margot is actually really good.
Laugh when you say that. It's good.
It was delicious. Well,
I didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
I've opened.
You work
4 restaurants for Fima. He's a dear, dear friend.
I love Fima.
And I love him. I mean, his family's amazing. But when I went there and ate, I really got up. I was like, oh my God, David, this is amazing. But it's just, that was a really good experience.
There's something about when you're cooking the food that you're meant to cook,
right?
It clicks. And that's what David's meant to cook.
That's what I told him. I remember sending him a text message and I was like, this food tasted like you. I could taste your love, your story, your family. Yeah. Like, this is your food. And thank you for sharing it. So,
Justin, I'm a big fan. I'm always cheering for you. So I'm
appreciate it.
Happy for your success.
Thank you.
and can't wait to see what comes in the next decade.
Always something.
Always something indeed. Justin Sutherland, our guest on DeRussia Eats. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast on WCCO Radio, 830 AM. We do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. .com, Jason at odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.